It is Saturday.
Hey, Paul.
Noon, Bento. Hey, Ben. How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, good, good. Sorry about that. I was in the bathroom. And so, yeah, there we go. It is Saturday. Happy Saturday to you.
You are incorrect, sir. It is Sunday. Happy Sunday to you.
Dang it! Oh, my gosh, that's right, because... that's right. It's Memorial Day weekend.
It is.
And I don't have work tomorrow, so I just thought it was Saturday. In fact, what I was about to say to you, this is going to be word for word. The great thing is, since it's Memorial Day weekend, it's Saturday, but I don't have to go to work tomorrow. Which is nuts, because I don't go to work on Sundays. So I was right about kind of the dynamic, but completely wrong about the days.
You can make as many excuses as you want, sir. You are still wrong.
I am indeed wrong. And hey, what better time to be wrong than the hour a week when you and I talk.
And we keep it wrong.
And, oh, so, some news.
Okay.
You remember the D&D group that I was part of, and then we didn't have D&D anymore.
Right.
And I was sad about it.
Right.
So we are now doing a monthly D&D session instead of doing it every week. It just started. The plan is that we're going to do it on, I believe, like June something-ith. And I would look it up, but as you know, the looking it up would count as a violation of our house rules. So
right.
It's sometime in June. It's a Sunday. It'll be from like 1 to 5. So just for future planning, and what better, I've thought about this, what better way to make our podcast really pop than to have it be nothing but us planning on when we're going to do the next podcast and reading what we said wrong the last podcast. I think it's great. It's the thing that's been missing.
Yeah, well, you know, we will have to coordinate when we're going to do the next podcast since I am still unavailable during our normal recording time.
Indeed, indeed. And how is that job going, by the way?
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. I think I said
good.
That, you know, it's a big corporate job, so there are snacks galore everywhere. The, on the floor that I work on, not only is there one kitchen with snacks, there are two kitchens with snacks. And just a floor below me is another kitchen, like a bigger kitchen. It's sort of like the company break room.
Wow.
With more snacks. So, yeah, it's there. I haven't bought lunch
These snacks are free?
What's that?
Free snacks that you get to eat just...
Free snacks.
Oh, man. You know how we don't normally talk about work here, but I will just say that the place where I work, there used to be a little snack area. Snacks were like a dollar, I believe. And the way that it worked out was that every snack was a dollar, right?
Right.
But they all kind of... Like, some actually cost the person more than a dollar to buy, some less, but it all worked out, kind of.
Gotcha, yeah.
But as we started getting more and more employees, it became more and more of a hassle. Like, they would get complaints about the type of snacks that were there, and it became... It's just like, you know, how Twitter, you get so many followers, it becomes another job, and you're like, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore. That sort of thing.
Yeah. I think...
Same sort of deal.
I don't know if anybody at this place complains about the variety or the amount of snacks, but I am of the opinion that if you are given free stuff, you should not complain about it.
Exactly. By the way, out of all the snacks that they do have available at this corporate gig of yours, what's your favorite? What would you pick?
Well, it all comes down to the fact that the variety of snacks in the break rooms correlate almost one-to-one to what I would normally buy for lunch down at the QFC.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
It's what I would normally get for lunch is I would get some type of fruit, normally an apple, maybe banana, maybe both, maybe like a nectarine or a plum. And this place has fresh fruit available, including apples and plums and bananas. I would also get one of those packages of hard-boiled eggs. There normally comes in like two hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And there are packages of hard-boiled eggs at this place, but they only come in one.
Oh, my gosh.
So I only get one. And, like, pieces of cheese and chips.
Now, from what I know, and the listener may or may not know, Ben's not a real... You're not a big eater. You eat, but...
I can put it away.
But, like, sometimes, it really depends on, like, if you're busy... Like, I would say, hey, have you eaten yet? And you were like, well, I had an apple this morning. And then that's, you know, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could subside on just the snacks that they have at this place.
I probably could. I would get tired of not being able to cook anything. But, yeah, like I said earlier, I haven't bought lunch. I don't buy lunch on the days that I'm working there.
Yeah.
Just because lunch is provided.
And for me, if people bring food in, because sometimes people bring food in a lot.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice, you know? Like, all of my food is pretty much packaged. So, if I haven't eaten yet that day, I'll just save that lunch for the next lunch.
Yeah.
And eat whatever the person has there. But, you know, sometimes it depends. Like, and this is... I'm on a health kick again.
Okay.
But I wasn't for a long time. So it would be like, oh, no one is eating the retirement cake. So I will have a piece of cake for breakfast, a piece of cake for lunch, and then one for a snack.
Yeah.
Three pieces of chocolate cake. So this is why I'm, you know, back on the health food kick.
Yesterday we shot most of the next episode of the Panel Jumper here at Annex. And I brought donuts for everybody. And nice. I went to a QFC and got a dozen donuts. And so all I had to eat yesterday up until about 5:30 when I went and met some friends at a local bar and had a proper dinner was all I had to eat yesterday was donuts and coffee.
Yes.
And I didn't really notice it. Like, if I'm up and around and moving like I was while we were filming, I don't really notice it. But if I'm, like, sitting at a desk all day, like, at work, mm-hmm. I would not have been able to do that.
Oh, yeah, because you'd be like, ugh.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'd feel terrible. I need to eat something better, and I'm still hungry.
Yeah, I've been, there's a place, I don't think I've talked to you about this. Have you ever eaten an acai bowl or seen them?
I've probably seen them, but I don't... if I saw one, I would probably recognize it. But well, I can't place it out just by the name.
The one thing that I'm eating is something... It's akin to this, right?
Yeah.
So this thing you don't know about, the thing that I've been eating is similar to that thing, basically. It's a smoothie bowl, if you will.
Okay.
Blended fruit and protein powder and sometimes yogurt, but mine isn't yogurt. Granola and then fruit.
In a
bowl.
Yeah.
And it's really great. A friend of mine from college who I'm, you know, like I'm maybe 3 or 4 years older than him. Yeah. I don't know exactly. He and his wife have opened up this place, and I didn't know that it was his place either. I just started going to it, and I haven't even talked to him about the fact that I've started going to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Seattle prices, though. like around here, a smoothie wouldn't cost $9,
right,
or whatever. So I can't get them that often,
right?
But when I do, if I eat one of those for breakfast, I'm not hungry until, like, maybe 2 p.m.
Right.
Because it's just so much goodness, I suppose. And I was like, I'm doing the math in my head trying to figure out if I can make these myself and then take them to work or whatever.
Like, what is the per unit cost of all the individual items?
Exactly. Like, am I actually saving myself any money? Am I,
Right.
That kind of thing. But the big thing is that I am feeling somewhat guilty. Like, imagine this, if you will. If I were to start my own business based on this guy's business, that would be wrong. That would be morally incorrect. However, even though I'm the only client, I'm feeling like I'm stealing his idea.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And serving, like I should buy it from him if I'm going to do it. But then I thought maybe I'm just lazy, and I'm using this concept of my own morality as a way to not do it.
Well, I mean, if you pay markup prices for this smoothie place that your friend opened, you're not really, the markup isn't about them making a profit on the ingredients. It's about the labor you do not have to do.
Yes, that's true. So, by the way,
what do you want to do? Save money or save time?
Ah, that's a very good point. When we're talking about my mornings, I would love to save time. Yeah. That might be part of it. His name is Mark, by the way. Markup. Mark. not a big deal. Just a little thing I've noticed. So the world is terrible still.
Still, yeah. No, it hasn't gotten any better.
Although the one thing that I have done, and I don't think we've talked about it on this podcast, but I'm really serious about it. I am not going to tell anyone how I'm voting. Now, people can guess pretty easily, I'm guessing, but I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about who I'm voting for.
Are you talking about in the context of you living in a Midwest city and you're probably an outlier?
Well, not just that, but also online. I am predicting that my friends are going to fight each other again when it comes to votes of stuff.
Yeah.
And my way of not engaging is I'm not going to tell people how I'm voting. And there's a side effect of this, which is that by not telling people how I'm voting, I'm also not going to indicate how I'm voting, because that would be the same as telling them. So all I'm going to say is I believe in the secret ballot. And I am not going to talk about how I'm voting.
Well,
now, I figured out
there was a time when you never told anybody who you were voting for.
Exactly, and I'm trying to bring that back. Yeah. Now, the problem is that because of the whole problem that I'm trying to avoid by this, people are just going to assume that I don't want to tell them because I'm voting for the person that they don't like, so they're still going to get mad at me.
It's a lose-lose situation.
I am holding firm to my ideals. Secret ballot. And we'll see how it goes. Because, yeah. Also, it'll be a way to not make Jennifer crazy by me complaining about politics. Because she'll have a conversation about it. But she won't have the same conversation over and over and over again.
Right, right.
Like I sometimes like to do, so... I'm being good. I'm making air quotes around good.
Right. No, I heard him.
Yeah. The other thing is, Jennifer and I, not together separately, but we both watched the Tig Notaro stand-up special on Netflix.
Yeah.
And one of the things is she talks about her wife, Stephanie. And Stephanie is a member of a improv group called Wild Horses that I really like.
Okay.
So I knew about them and was fans of them separately before they got married. So that's kind of interesting. It's not like friends getting married, but it's like, two people whose careers are like getting married. But one of the things that she does now in her stand-up act is she talks about all the crazy things that her wife says. And... Jennifer and I...
Typical married routine.
Exactly. independently of each other, both saw that dynamic between the two of them in our own relationship, and we both agreed. Again, we didn't have to discuss this. It's just something that we, a conclusion we came to, that she is the Tig and I am the Stephanie in the relationship. There's actually a quote from the stand-up special, which is Tig saying, I believe that all of these questions are Googleable.
Googleable.
In my head, I heard it correctly.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is an actual phrase that I believe my wife has said to me on many occasions. So it's kind of interesting. It's
sort of a also, fun little... or see also the website. Let me Google that for you.
Oh yes, which I kind of know about, and I'll have to look it up later. I'm kidding.
I'll send you a link.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks, Ben. I haven't seen a lot of movies, but I have finally seen Black Panther. So it's been a while. Have you seen it?
I have seen it. I saw it in the theater.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
And the one of the interesting things about it, it's just a very small difference, but it was cool. The Hanuman guys were originally supposed to live in the jungle, and the director decided to make them live in the mountains instead.
Yeah.
And that was cool, because, yeah, right? Well, monkey people living in the jungle makes sense.
They changed those characters because, from what I understand, the leader of that group was, like, for current... You know, for modern standards, was a very problematic character.
Yes.
So they modified it considerably to make it not so racist.
Yeah, it is a great thing. And one of the things that I loved about it, right?
Yeah.
Is it's a problem that I've had with superheroes for a while. The idea that you've got the superhero who has taken on a mantle of somebody, and all of their powers just happen to coincide with that, right? The one who doesn't fit that is... it's so the same thing. The idea is that the writer's theme takes precedent over the reality of the character, basically. So the idea that these people who worship the monkey god Hanuman living in the mountains instead is cool and great. And you know, that one little change really re-informed those characters.
Yeah.
Spider-Man. His Spidey sense, right? I mean, I guess you could say spiders seem to have a sense or whatever. But that is one of the cooler... you know, he makes his web shooters. We're talking about the classic Spider-Man.
Of course.
Makes his web shooters, has a spider sense, has the proportionate strength of a spider, quote-unquote. But really, a lot of his abilities don't have a lot to do with spiders. So that was good, as far as I was concerned. Right?
Yeah.
But one of the things that I think would be kind of cool, that I haven't seen a lot, is you give these superheroes random powers. Like, you're able to read minds... and breathe underwater and, you know, detach your hands. Go ahead and find out a gimmick for that. I think it'd be fun. I don't know. It'd be sort of a fun little, you make a random table and then you roll them up and then you see what happens. That's kind of like role-playing games.
Yeah, I was just going to say, are you creating a D&D character?
And maybe that's kind of what it's like. Actually, now that I think about it, there was a game that I used to play when I was a teen, adolescence teens, called Marvel Superheroes, which was kind of like that. Now that I'm just talking about Marvel Superheroes, the role-playing game, Ben.
Speaking of Marvel Superheroes, the episode of the panel jumper we just shot was about Jack Kirby, and we had Troy Lund reprise his role as Jack Kirby on the show.
Oh, nice. Wait, when was Troy Lund, Jack Kirby?
He was in the Howard the Duck episode.
Ah, nice. Panel Jumper. Okay, cool.
And, yeah. This time he actually had lines. We gave him words to say.
Well, that's great. Jack Kirby was a really interesting dude.
Yeah.
And also, you know, drew some of the iconic Wakanda things, which they didn't use in the movie, and I think that was the right choice.
My favorite Jack Kirby story, though, is I think this was about the time he might have been working on Captain America or something, and there was, like, Captain America, of course, fighting Nazis, and he's in his office at Marvel, and Nazis appear in the lobby, and they say to the receptionist, "We want to talk to Jack Kirby." So the receptionist calls up to Jack Kirby, and she says, "There are some Nazis here. They look mean. They want to speak with you about what you're saying about Nazis." And Jack Kirby's like, "I'll be right down." And before he gets to the lobby, the Nazis leave. Like, he's scared them off.
Yeah. Oh, no. Jack Kirby's coming.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get out. Crap. He took our bait.
But, that is kind of interesting. Yeah, that's something that people forget. But there were American Nazis during World War II. Like, right? I think so. There was an American Nazi party, I want to say, maybe.
Sure, why not?
Does that sound right?
I would not be surprised if there were. I don't know, of course, but I would not be surprised.
Well, you know, that's just going to have to be something that gets looked up. In a thing that we like to call corrections. That's right. Ben, I think it's time to do it.
Well, let's... while I try to pull it up... The internet here at the theater is really terrible these days. So while I try to pull it up, why don't you go and explain to the people for once? Because nobody knows what this bit is. Why don't you go and explain to them what we're doing?
Okay, so a little while back in the podcast, early on, I was complaining to Ben about the fact that people think that they're smarter than they actually are. And the reason is because Google's around and you can just look up stuff on the internet. And then as soon as you look it up, you're like, oh, I already knew that. Or you think that you know it. The fact that you know that you can look it up makes you think that you know something. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to remind myself how stupid I am? And see, Ben, I'm not disparaging your recall at all, but Ben and I are verboten to look stuff up during the podcast. And really, we're not supposed to look stuff up before the podcast either. We just have to go off of our own.
Well, we never know what we're going to talk about, so it's really difficult to look stuff up beforehand.
Exactly. But, you know... other lesser podcasts might actually research something and then organically bring, you know, it's like your friend who knows a lot about fish hatcheries for whatever reason, who tries to steer the conversation. Oh yeah, Marilyn Monroe was great. I bet you she went to a fish hatchery before. Speaking of fish hatcheries, you know, that kind of thing. But the thing is that we are not infallible. No. And therefore, it is up to our dear listeners to correct us. Look up the things that we say, and if we're wrong, tell us why we're wrong, and then we can all learn something. And by far, the most prolific user of our correction system is my wife, Jennifer Pratt, who has been turning in corrections pretty much consistently. Unless, like, you know, acts of nature, like the wind blowing away all the notes she had taken, which had happened in the past. But I believe that she does, in fact, have corrections in today. Is that correct, Ben?
That is incorrect. There are no corrections so far.
Oh, yeah. Nuts. So. All right, hold on. I'm going to go yell at her.
Sorry to put everybody through the preamble to our corrections segment. But, yeah, there's no corrections today.
There's actually something that she talked to me about that I'm gonna check with her what it was, because it was an impression that she got listening to us talk about something. Hey, Jennifer.
Oops.
Ben said there are no corrections.
I have them. Oh. Just about to send them.
Okay, right, Jennifer's just about to send them. Hey, what was the thing that that you were talking about, that the impression I was like, well, maybe that's fine or whatever. Do you talk about that in there or
no?
What was the thing? Do you remember? I forgot.
About like taking tarot and like and.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, cool.
And how it was like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
It got like, it softened somehow.
Yeah.
Like, well, maybe it's just like zeitgeist, okay. You know? It's, and I'm like, are cool. You fucking kidding me?
I'm going back inside, but thank you. And you sent those out? Okay. All right. So, one thing to know about me, Ben, is that when it's hot outside, I hate being outside. Actually, I hate being outside all the time. But that's why I was checking.
How
so,
hot is it out there?
Really quick, this is not a correct... Oh, it's like 30 degrees Celsius.
What is that in Fahrenheit? Hot.
I don't know. I don't listen to. Oh, 34 degrees Celsius. Wow, that's pretty. That's pretty hot.
Hit the button with the F that's on for it. Sure. What's it in Fahrenheit?
I don't know, man.
Relate it. Relate it to the people. Don't be so GD precious.
I'd have to look it up. I don't know.
Oh,
hey, Jennifer, do you know how to convert Celsius to Fahrenheit? Or do you know what the Fahrenheit temperature is outside? Or it's around 92 degrees.
Okay.
So anyway, before we get to corrections, there was just a misimpression that listeners could get from our conversation about Tig Notaro and Louis C.K. regarding the clown video, where the person hires a clown for their own personal use.
Yeah, the Saturday Night Live bit.
Yeah, I want to make it clear that as far as I'm concerned, there is absolutely no question that he was aware of her special, I mean, of her short film, and used it anyway. I don't see how he could not have known about it. Well, it seems pretty obvious to me.
I don't know how Saturday Night Live works, but I'm assuming that Louis C.K. did not write that bit, that some writer... wrote that bit, and the problem is Louis C.K. went along with it. He didn't say, hey, look, yeah, you know, this is, we can't do this because this has already been done, which is what he should have done.
Maybe this is the exact thing that she was talking about. When I say I don't know who wrote it,
yeah,
and that's not a me being wishy-washy of, oh well, who knows. I mean, I actually physically don't know who
I mean, if you want to get tinfoil hat about it, it's possible that some writer on Saturday Night Live hated Louis C.K. and wrote that bit specifically to entrap him.
I do feel like there, the chances of him not knowing about it, I feel okay being mad at him. Let's just put it that way, for doing it.
I was at
I don't know if that cleared it up at all. But
when I was cashing out at the bar last night, paying my tab. There was something that was on my bill that died in order, so it was like, you know, a bunch of like potato wedges or something, and
yeah.
So he's like, oh, okay, so all this is on your card. I'm like, okay, whatever, fine. I didn't order that, but okay. And he's like, oh, I'll just kill it. And it was just, and he's like, it's just potatoes, right? It's just, they come from the ground. Oh, that reminds me of this Louis C.K. bit, and he goes on to talk about this joke that Louis C.K. has done, and I didn't know what to do. Like, I don't think I'm supposed to like his humor anymore, and it now feels awkward in social situations when people say his jokes.
You know, it's a very interesting thing. You know, separating the artist from what they from they make, and I really honestly think that as an artist, how you behave colors what people think about your stuff.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Like, I know that I try to be good, but I do know that there are some things in my social media persona that may make people dislike me if they're, you know, of a certain temperament, which then might, by extension, make them dislike Giraffe and Elephant because they know that I, you know, am the guy who made them. But who knows? You know, how much one can separate. I try not to, you know, commit any crimes. That's something that I think
I owe. Mighty fine of you.
My art. You know, you think about it that way. You're the custodian of your...
Exactly.
Of your stuff. So, corrections.
Yeah, look, corrections just came in. We were talking about Judge Judy again, because I think that was a correction from last week. And
Judge Judith Shinlin is not dead.
Yeah, so we were... I was wondering if Judge Wapner had passed away. And number one, Judge Joseph Wapner died February 26, 2017, at the age of 97. So quite recently, actually.
Yeah. Much more recently than a little over a year ago.
He adjudicated the People's Court from 1981 to 1993. That's earlier than I thought he gave up the throne. Upon his retirement, there was a series of other adjudicators with Judge Marilyn Million? Oh, pronounced Million.
Oh, okay.
Having the longest run, 16 seasons and counting. Judge Marilyn. Other adjudicators are Ed Koch. Yes, the Ed Koch, former disgraced mayor of New York City. Or is it Koch? Koch? Ed Koch? I think it's Koch.
I say Koch. The Beastie Boys say Koch.
Yeah. And Jerry Shinlin. That name sounds familiar. Oh, yeah, he's Judge Judy's husband.
Oh, interesting.
So there you go.
We've
now learned more about the People's Court than I ever wanted to know.
The one thing about the People's Court, of course, is the people who talk to the people after they exit the court. Doug Llewellyn is one of the guys. And then the guy who runs TMZ was one of those other guys for a while. I don't know who he is.
I have no idea.
Although Jennifer is here. Hello. Jennifer is raising a finger as though she's going to say something.
I forgot something.
What's that?
Dama Rara.
Oh, Dama Rara. She has something to say about Dama Rara.
I agree that Dr. Katz was some of his best work.
She agrees that Dr. Katz is some of Dama Rara's best work.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, Ben is laughing and saying yes.
I don't mean that in a bad way. You are the worst person I've ever... I don't mean that in a bad way. The worst person on this planet, and the foliage around you dies. Right. I don't mean that in a bad way. When you walk by, it just wilts. It dies. I don't mean that in a bad way.
Jennifer doing her Dama Rara impression, which you will hear
Dama
better.
Some special things. Pennsylvania Eagles. Yeah.
She said Pennsylvania Eagles. Yeah.
Well, actually, Philadelphia.
Eagles. Yeah. Eagles. Okay. So that's a Dama Rara thing.
All right.
You know, I realize I haven't really watched Dr. Katz a lot.
You should check it out. It's really funny.
Yeah.
Well, it's
I like home movies.
Here's the thing. I wouldn't say it's really funny, but it's entertaining. It's enjoyable. It's not a lot of it's not really laugh out loud funny. A lot of it is just like this interpersonal, like the way Dr. Katz relates to his son, played by H. John Benjamin, who you might know as Archer or Bob from Bob's Burgers.
Oh, that's great.
It's this interesting dynamic with this therapist to the comedians and his relationship with his adult slacker son. It's really fun.
Yeah. Barry Sobel was on a couple episodes of that show.
Barry Sobel, also Louis C.K. Louis C.K. He had no facial hair but a full head of hair on the show.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Well, he's drawn, so I don't know.
He's drawn.
So cool. Other corrections?
Yeah. We were talking about stadiums and wondering what the plural was.
Oh, yeah.
The plural of stadium is stadia, apparently.
Wow. I had no idea. Stadia. Which is weird, because you can just say stadiums, and it sounds right.
I think it's one of those things where, like, the English language is an evolving and developing language, and...
appendixes versus appendices.
Yeah, and so I think if I'm going to go to a bunch of different stadiums on a road trip this summer, I'm going to say stadiums, and I'm not going to be incorrect, but I'm going to, you know, if I say I'm going to go to a bunch of different stadia this summer, people are going to look at me and wonder what I'm talking about.
That is
even
probably
though
true.
Technically, but that might be the correct grammar.
Yes, stadia.
Anyway, we were talking about Max Ernst colleges.
Betty's shouting to me. Hold on 1 second. Betty, I'm doing the podcast. What's up? 1 second. She's talking to me, but I can't hear her. So, Betty, could you come in here, please? This will be just 1 second, Ben. I apologize. It may be an important parenting moment, though.
Captured live on tape.
What did you ask me?
If you would make me some finger noodles because I'm hungry.
Oh, you want some food?
Yeah.
Okay, I can make you some food. All right, so we're going to continue, but I'm going to be also making Betty some food. Ah, so what's the next one, Ben?
were we talking about Max Ernst colleges?
Collages, yeah.
Collages. I'm
Max
sorry.
Ernst.
I missed
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we were talking about. Actually, what we were talking about was copyright for like mashups and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, wait 1 second. Betty has some. Yes, Betty.
Finger noodles, did you instead of butter, did you put in like that vegan I can't believe is not butter?
Yes, I did.
Can you put in actual butter this time?
Yes, I can. Okay.
Good.
So,
well, anyway,
there we are, Betty. So, Max Ernst. So what we were talking about was the legality of whether or not in these days he would have to pay the people who made the original artwork that
apparently he was pre fair use and rigorous copyright and trademark laws, so that's how that worked.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
And finally, we were talking about the I remembered a Wappler weatherman and the Wappler Doppler here at in Seattle. And I couldn't remember if it was Harry Wappler, and I think it was Harry Wappler, but he also had a son, Andy Wappler, who worked at the same radio station. And Jennifer says, Andy Wappler and the Wappler Doppler, I remember it well. He left Cairo in 2008 to join the PSE public relations team. Damn it.
Who's PFE?
PSE, Puget Sound Energy.
Oh, okay.
So he stopped being a weatherman. I guess there's no money in weathermanning, but there is in public relations.
You know, it's funny. One of the people that I used to work with had been a meteorologist in a past life.
In a past life.
And, well, you know, like before they started working.
Right.
And there's a lot that goes into it. It's one of those things where a reporter, right, on the news, you think they just read the news.
Yeah.
But a lot of them actually do the research for the stories that they present.
They write the news. Well, they report on the news. That's what writing the news is.
Right.
So they are actual reporters.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that they invented the news, Ben.
They make the news. Although I'm sure there are some instances, whether fictional or real, of reporters creating news to get good scoops.
Oh yeah, they get in big trouble also.
Yeah.
There's a thing called Shattered Glass. I don't know if it was a biopic or an actual documentary, but it's about a guy who was writing. I think his name was Glass. I think Glass was his last name.
Clever.
Writing a whole bunch of fake news stories. Oh, yeah. Hey, we talked about this already, right? But fake news, where that term actually came from?
Oh, didn't you hear Donald Trump invented it? He came up with the word fake. I mean, other people might have used it. He didn't know.
Fake news, though, was a term that was used, a specific term specifically used for infomercials, where they would have somebody behind a desk reporting on the product that the infomercial is trying to sell.
Right.
Which I think is nuts, but it makes sense.
Don't you remember those? I remember seeing those on TV all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's true. It took people a while to catch on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got to be clued in that it's not an actual newscast when it's on at 4 o'clock in the morning.
And it's nobody that you ever knew noticed. And
yeah.
But still, they really do get around stuff a lot. Hey, you know, it'll say like special report or whatever.
This
so
just
they never
in.
Actually. Yeah. It's me. Lots of times they'll say, we always bring you, the most interesting, blah, blah, you know, like trying to make it sound so much like they were coming up with it on their own. And again, I don't want to sound crazy, Ben, but once you get involved in stuff like that, you realize how much work goes into making real stuff seem real, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're being interviewed by a news agency, for example, you still have to get mic'd up for things. And if you're on a talk show, let's say, where there are two people and they're fighting or whatever, those two people might actually, it's not like they necessarily keep them separate for real. All sorts of stuff like that. It's kind of bizarre. That's why whenever we get onto my favorite subject, which we're about to, I'm like, maybe it's better. Maybe it'll be better at that point. We're talking about now deep fake videos and deep voice, both of which are, SIGGRAPH. Are you familiar with SIGGRAPH? It's the sort of national computer graphics world thing.
I don't.
You know what I'm talking about? Where people get together and they.
I don't. I think I may have heard the term, but I don't know what it is.
It's like E3, but for graphic people.
Okay.
It's a convention for people who do computer graphic stuff.
Yeah.
But there was a video that just came out recently from that. It was somebody's SIGGRAPH presentation where it was Barack Obama, I think. I want to say it was Barack Obama, but maybe it was somebody else. They had footage of a person talking, and then they mapped their face onto a model and had the model, like, maybe it was a static image that had a face mapped onto it, so on and so forth.
You're not talking about the video that Jordan Peele had put out, are you?
No, not the Jordan Peele video. Okay. It's similar to that, but it's a much more academic, a little bit more boring thing where they're comparing their product to like three other products that do the same thing.
Okay.
And talking about how theirs is better and why theirs is better.
Ours is more realistic and you can fool more people.
Exactly. It was very concerning.
Yeah.
Basically. But the thing is that deep voice, which is a new thing that just came out recently, can just take some audio and make a fake voice that is pretty realistic for anybody, basically.
Yeah.
So you put these two things together, and you got yourself a surefire way to make it so that nothing is believable ever again.
Right. We're getting to that point where, you know, you cannot trust video that you see.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, video used to be the way that you...
Yeah.
You know, before that was editing. Editing would be, oh, well, that's edited. Yeah. Oh, they probably didn't show all the video, you know, or whatever. Because in the end, it's how people decide not to believe the thing that they're seeing. And now that this technology is out there...
Yeah.
No, you can't show your Uncle Dave a video and say, no, see, look, he actually said it. This is him saying it right here. Oh, well, they can fix that. They can
right.
make him say whatever they want, and then nobody's going to believe anything right. anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting world we're entering into when you, at some point, you are not going to believe things that you see in front of your own face with your own eyes.
That's right. Which is why all of a sudden these fine arts degrees are going to be important. Because
stay in school, kids.
Because you can say, look, I don't know if it's real or not, but I can say that thematically it doesn't work for me. This new video that shows up doesn't add anything to the conversation. It's actually detracts from the plot. I whether it's real or not doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that's something, Ben. You and I will be able to focus on the aesthetics of the thing. Whether or not it's true will become irrelevant.
Right.
In five years.
You know, we've already established that we're living in a post-truth society. So it's now basically how you want your information to feel.
Yes, that's a very good. Yes, how, like me, I don't want everything to be exactly as I want it. I like to there to be some controversy and things like that. So, yep. The Matrix, Ben. The Matrix. This is a point that somebody brought up that I think is hilarious, but I don't know if we ever talked about it on the podcast.
What's that?
There are a group of people who use the term red-pilled, that they got red-pilled.
They were roofied the truth?
Right, exactly. They woke up. They were in this haze, and now they woke up. And a lot of the people that use the term red-pilled are like men's rights activists.
Oh, God.
And things like that who are like mad at social justice warriors and all that. And somebody pointed out to the world, basically, on Twitter recently. And when I say recently, I mean, you know, within the last couple of months.
Yeah.
Which isn't even recent. It's like, you know, ancient history, I guess.
In internet time.
That the term red-pilled and the movie that people were referring to were made by two transgendered women.
This is true.
So... That's kind of fun,
yeah.
If you think about it. In fact, it was so right on the money that when I first read it, I thought the person was making it up to like, you know, stick it to him. And then when I realized, no, that is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I was pretty impressed.
Yeah.
It made me laugh a little bit. I don't know. That's the one thing, and we've talked about this before. The kids, you know, younger than us, the folks who are in their 20s now.
Yeah.
How they're a little bit better than us as far as fighting with people and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where,
our generation
where
was very hands-off.
Like, yeah, someone says, you know, you guys are you guys are ghouls and horrible to, like, somebody doing something bad.
Right.
And the person who writes back says, hey, you know, calling people names isn't a good way to win an argument. And then the kids will just write back, actually, it's a great way to win an argument. Or, hey, this isn't, you know, it's not cool to swear at people. And they say, it rules, actually. You know, that kind of stuff. Right. It, just things that I would never...
Well,
I would never imagine doing.
And I want to say that a lot of this is a byproduct of growing up with social media, with the internet, where you are able to, at first, when you're discovering your voice, express an anonymous opinion and get that experience, right? And
yeah,
then
that makes
and then
sense.
You move that experience to the real world. Like, I didn't
right,
have...
You've already got your chops, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't have the experience of talking with people on the internet until... Like, talking with strangers on the internet until I was in college, you know? And so, yeah. I wasn't a junior high school kid or an elementary school kid or whatever, you know, and able to argue, quote, argue with people on the internet. And basically, I'm just going to say, be a jerk anonymously and without repercussion. Which would, I think, have informed my personality.
Yeah, I like you how you are, Ben, so I'm a little glad that that never actually...
I often thank every day, give thanks every day that the internet was not around when I was a child.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. Records of when I was on the internet are probably still floating around there somewhere.
Yeah.
But they aren't as accessible as they are now. For things. And I, you know, so imagine every bad piece of writing that's stuck in a notebook somewhere. What if it had been on your Facebook instead?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. It'd be awful. Awful. For me, anyway. I feel bad for Betty a little bit for that reason. Because, you know, the internet being forever and all that.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't have a say when I started posting pictures of her doing stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, even if she did, I would say, you know, like nowadays, I'm like, hey, Betty, can I put this up? And she will go, no.
Right.
Don't put that up. And then I have to listen to her because it's, you know, her stuff. But lots of times, and even now, especially now, parents with some kids, man... They better straighten up and fly right because they're doing stuff, making money off of their kids. I don't want to say exactly who it is because I don't want to give them any more publicity or whatever. But there's an article I read just recently about this girl whose brother is making her, like coaching her how to be a basically jerk on the internet.
Is this like a YouTube series?
Yep, it certainly is.
Huh.
I'm sure there are tons of them, but there's one in particular.
Yeah,
where she's like swearing at people and doing stuff, and there's footage of her brother telling her to say stuff and her like not wanting to or saying it wrong or whatever.
There was a controversy recently where this couple had a pretty successful YouTube channel where they pranked their children.
Oh, yeah, I remember
and
about this,
The way it ended, and I don't know if they've gotten the kids back, but the children got taken away from them.
Because they were being...
It was bordering on abuse.
Yes, I remember that.
And this couple who... put out like a contrite apology video, and like we didn't know that we were causing irreparable psychological damage to our children. Please give our children back.
And they're like, well,
yeah. So I don't know where that ended. I don't know if the kids are still living with a responsible adult these days, or back with this horrible couple.
Yeah, and that was if I remember that one correctly, there were several children in the family.
Yeah, yeah.
And like they would have the two of them fight sometimes, or you know, two siblings
like,
fight.
I never watched any of these videos, but I did read all the a lot of the articles that I found about this because I found it fascinating, but it wasn't like, they pranked all the kids, but they seemed to focus on one particular young little boy.
This is the one I was, that's the one that I know about, too. Yeah, exactly. And there are times when he's just, like, melted down.
Yeah.
And, you know, ask them, why do you keep doing this or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, and I was not physically or emotionally abused as a child, but I do remember having some pretty fantastic meltdowns, and I would be horrified if my parents put those on the internet.
Yeah, right? That's tough.
Circling back around to, thank God I'm not a kid on the internet.
That's right.
Speaking of kids on the internet.
I'm glad you're not a kid on the internet either, Ben, because that would be weird that we have a podcast together.
Yeah. Would you like to have a seat over there, sir?
So, I am making Betty her dinner. Betty is on the floor doing a little bit of a project. So, instead of yelling for Betty, this is talking quietly to Betty. And here we go. Hey, Betty. How's it going?
Good.
So, Betty is using this thing called Aqua Beads. It's a little, like, craft kind of thing where you put these beads into this applicator.
And you put them in water, but I'm using lemon juice out of that lemon because I don't have the right spritzer thingy.
You don't have the lemon juice spritzer or the water spritzer?
The water spritzer.
Oh, so you're actually putting lemon juice.
Is it
working?
I don't know yet.
Okay, well, so yeah, it looks like she's having a little bit of fun. Is this pretty cool?
Yeah.
What did you, who showed up today, Betty?
Oh, Grandma and Grandpa.
Yeah, her Grandma and Grandpa on her mom's side.
Oh, yeah?
Well, actually, one of the Grandmas and Grandpas on her mom's side, because I actually have two on
both sides.
Because, you know,
that's right.
One got divorced and then they remarried.
Yeah, this is Jennifer's dad.
Right.
And his wife. And they're moving to Massachusetts.
Yeah, and also one of them, their parents didn't really were too young, and he got adopted.
Oh, that you're talking about me now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Betty has lots of, oh my gosh. Okay, for that whole segment, Ben?
Yeah?
I have been kind of across the room. The recorder has been sitting on the stove.
Jeez.
Because I took my phone with me instead of the recorder. So we'll see how all that goes.
Depends on how big the room is.
I yell a lot anyway.
Yeah, so we'll see how all that goes. But the main thing is, Ben, I think we're almost done here.
Yeah, were there fresh batteries in the recorder? I mean, it might have been a moot point anyway.
They weren't fresh. They weren't. I said they weren't French.
batteries.
They weren't fresh. But, they weren't fresh, but there was enough of a charge to last through the entire podcast.
Hooray!
Basically, we'll see how things go. With the world and all that.
Hopefully the world will still be here next week.
Yeah. And if it's not, catch you on the flip side,
indeed,
buddy.
See you on the other side.
But if it is here, I hope you will take the entire week and keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong, Paul.
All right, Ben. And, you know what?
What?
We've still got, 20 seconds. Is there anything happening this week at Annex or...
it's pretty dark at the theater. We closed the show last weekend, and there's nothing.
Well, then don't go to Annex, everybody.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, Ben, I will see you next week.
All right.
And we'll work out when.
Yeah, we will.
Keep it wrong, Ben.
Keep it wrong. Talk to you later.
Yeah.
Bye.